shared a little bit of this the other day in the morning. And so we're going to be going to Exodus chapter 19. So if you have your Bible, would you put the light on? Please, one of you. Yeah. This one over here. Be easier so they can see. Thank you. Exodus 19, and we touched a little bit about this, but the fire of the Lord has been on my heart, and it's been bouncing quite a few times around, and it's definitely increasing. And verse 10 and 11 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow." Notice it's 2 days of sanctification. "Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all people and upon Mount Sinai." Now, that's a precursor to our day. "And it came to pass on the third day," which is verse 16, "in the morning, that there were thunder and lightnings and thick clouds upon the mount, and a voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." Verse 18 and 19 of Exodus 20. "And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak you with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." So they're disgusted. They're afraid. They're shaking in their boots, and they're rejecting. So because of the manifest glory, or the tongues of fire, had first been offered to Israel, but was rejected, and the Lord required us to invite this visitation of fire to come within. Israel had said, "Let not God speak with us, lest we die." They spoke as one voice. We also must face this same issue, knowing that all that is not of the Lord will be burned out of us as we die to our self-life. And we don't like it. How many know there are certain things you just don't want to let go? Well, God says, if you give it to me, I'll burn it up if you give me the chance. So it goes on in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "But we all, with open faces, beholding, as in a glass or mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." One characteristic of the manifest glory is that it reflects, similar to a mirror. In this reflection of manifest glory, we are able to see ourselves as we are. How many like to see ourselves as we are? It's kind of chancy when you pray that prayer, because you just might not be happy with what you see. After Adam's transgressions and the resultant loss of the Shekinah covering, he said that he was naked. He realized that he had done and hid from the presence of the Lord. Now, I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord began to deal with me about what had happened to Adam. He showed me a gorgeous Angora cat that I used to have when I was a kid. And I was like, that was a gorgeous animal. Of course, there was cat hair everywhere, but who cares? Just love that beautiful cat. And I had her on the farm, so obviously we had a lot of fun together. But the Lord said, how would you be happy with that same animal if she had no fur? And all of a sudden, I kind of had an inner vision of a rat type of thing. And I'm thinking, ooh, no thanks. He said, well, that's what happened to Adam. He was supposed to radiate the light of God because he was made in the image of God, but he lost it because he did his own thing. So guess what he did when he looked in the mirror of the Lord? God still had his glory on him, when he was naked. And then if you look, when the Lord decided to show himself in glory on the mountain, what did happen to Jesus? And he brought three witnesses. What happened to him? He was what? Radiating like the sun. And he's the first of many brothers. So, the Lord was trying to, again, awaken in us not to be so disappointed about who we are. But that he's got a plan of restoration which is progressive. Now, if you look at the history of the church for 2,000 years, she was actually for a number of years going downhill, then she went uphill, and now we are being restored. So, are you going to quit halfway? I mean, let's face it. If you were going to repair a cat, would you just cover her paws and maybe her tail and leave her naked body? Her beauty is covered from what? Head to tail. And I'm not picking on cats now. You understand? Take any animal that you want, any bird that you want. Take off its covering, and what have you got? An ugly what? Ugly creation. I want you to remember, there is a glory that is about to enter the church. And if we are insistent not to let up, but to cry out for God, we'll see a change. Now, this also happened to Isaiah when the heavens opened and he saw the manifest glory of the Lord. Instead of hiding from the Lord, Isaiah immediately repented. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In effect, Isaiah is saying, when all that I had depended upon was removed, I finally looked up and saw the Lord. I mean, he saw he was naked. He saw he didn't have it. But he changed his mind and asked God to change his mind. Above it stood a seraphim, Isaiah 6:2 and 4, or 2 to 4. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. With two he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke or glory. In this presence of manifest glory, Isaiah saw himself as he really was and changed his mind. And he cried out and repented. Then said I, Isaiah 6:5, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Now, he's not looking at everybody else's problem. He's seeing what he did wrong. "I'm undone because I am a man of unclean lips." Meaning, all the stuff that comes out of me is not of my spirit. It's coming from my soul, mind, will, and emotions. "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Listen to the average television show in the middle of the afternoon. And the stories I used to watch as the world turns, love of life, when 50 years ago, these were wonderful stories. Now, I wouldn't let my granddaughter watch that stuff. It's filling her with what? A divorce court and another bed and another sexual encounter. It doesn't stop. So, "He dwells in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." So he's now choosing who's going to watch and what he's going to keep his eyes on. "The children of Israel were willing to hear the word of the Lord, but they did not want their inner lives exposed, nor did they desire to change as Isaiah desired. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all people upon Mount Sinai," Exodus 19:11. "The Lord had desired to reveal himself to a people, but this revelation of His visible glory was rejected. Therefore, the Lord withdrew into a 10x10 cubicle, the Holy of Holies, which we try to go into, where only the high priest could approach Him once a year. So God didn't give up on them any more than He gave up on Thomas. Thomas had a problem. Thomas had a major problem. He was human. Now, if you pinch yourself, I think you might find you still got some flesh on you. And so do I. But I'm trying to tell you, ask the Holy Spirit to change your mind. Exodus 19 also says, notice that this visitation in which the Lord came down, manifested presence in the sight of the people, was the beginning of the third day. Millennial. It came to pass on the third day in the morning. Exodus 19:16. And He, Jesus, said to them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Luke 13:32. You better study that one, because it has a hidden meaning about the third day of the Lord, which we've already had 2,000 millennial years since our Lord came. And now we're entering the third, and we're actually 10 years into it. In a few more months, we're in there. We are approaching the time when this baptism of fire will again appear. You say God is going to come? Yes! Watch Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple, us. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. He's coming to you. Even the messengers of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver. Silver and gold have I none, girl. But you heard. Okay? That they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3 again. This refiner's fire is an end-time immersion in manifest Shekinah glory that will purge the pure and purify lives in preparation for the restoration of true apostolic authority with creative miracles and confirming signs. These two areas of spiritual experience, the restored manifest glory of the Lord being revealed and apostolic authority functioning in power with consequences, will be the primary indicator that we are in the time of the closing out of the church age and the establishing of the millennial kingdom, whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor and gather His wheat into the garner, but He will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12. Put it on hold. Hello? Gotcha, man. Good to hear from you. Bye-bye. Just getting on the plane. He'll be here 10:10. That was a little interruption. Matthew 3:12 is telling you the same message. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Anybody got a clue where? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So where's the problem? It's on top of your shoulders. Jesus doesn't have a place to put His head. Why? Because we have still got our head on there. That's pretty scary. When you think that He's been waiting all these years, 2,000 years, to put His head on your head, or on your shoulders, and on the body of Christ. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you and me to be led by the Spirit of God within us. And we're still saying, I don't think I like the fire, Lord. I don't like it. Your message about the roses being clipped off and looking at only the stems. Yes, he was crowned with what? The thorns. But what was it for? It was to show us that there's a problem up there. There is a major problem. If you're controlled by this, you're going to be in trouble. And I'm not telling you I don't have one. I have one. And it gets me in trouble too. But I'm like Isaiah. Come on, Lord. I'm not giving up. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't give up. Amen. When the Lord came within the temple of his day, he drove out those who made merchandise of the sacred. Matthew 21. And Jesus went into the temple, verse 12 through 13. Cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said to them, it is written. Are you ready for this one? My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So also today, for in the new covenant, we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Therefore, when Jesus comes within us as this baptism of fire, he will again purge and burn up the chaff that is within his temple, meaning us, as he did in that day. This will result in true purity of life, in which the creative word can be spoken with authority. And he that overcomes, anybody got a clue where it is? Revelations 2, 26 and 27. And he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This restoration of the manifest glory of the creative word of the Lord being spoken with authority through all of those who have yielded their bodies unconditionally to the Lord and have invited this baptism of fire to come within will greatly affect the nations in preparation for the millennial kingdom to be established. I would like to give you a couple more scriptures. I won't read them. Micah 4, if you're interested. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. Why giving you so much in such a short time? I believe it's important. Because we're preparing to be a house of prayer to change the nations. Now you say, well, how is this little place going to change the nations? I can tell you this. Every family starts with two. God says two in agreement. And in my experience, I'm the 21st child, so that gives you a clue. And that should give you a hint. How about 21? A few years ago, we had a family reunion. And out of the 21 kids, there's like eight or nine of us left. Don't even remember the numbers right now. But I can tell you this. The largest hall in the town where I was born was full. And there was babies all around. What does that tell you? It means that you are being prepared and you're pregnant. You're pregnant with that fire that's going on inside of you and you're having a hard time sometimes emotionally to go forward. Come on. Anybody with me or am I alone? It's hard to go forward when it's burning. But I can tell you this. It's no different than a woman who's carried this baby and all of a sudden she gets the hiccups. And she's thinking, oh my God, is this going to produce a new birth? And all it is the hiccups. But her whole body trembles. Or if she wakes up in the middle of the night and she says to her husband, I'd like a tomato sandwich in the middle of January and there's no tomatoes available. That was my wife.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Your pregnancy is going to cause your whole system to be changed. And you're pregnant with the same son that Mary came. It's not a different Jesus that he's coming for. And he's bringing a peace in you and a peace in you and a peace in her. Why? Because when he puts us all together, we'll be able to accomplish what he's called us to do. And the job of the enemy is to what? Anybody got a clue what the job of the enemy is? Yes! Get rid of it before it grows up! If you look at Revelation, I mean, the minute that baby's born, God takes it. Okay? And protects it in a place of safety. I could go on that subject, and I don't want to go there. But I can tell you this. Our God is a consuming fire. Don't be afraid of it as best you can. And I'm not saying that you won't have the emotions of fear when the burning starts and you may not feel any heat. My brother felt some heat last night. And God gave you how many dreams? 30 dreams in one night. He was sitting next to me and he says, my hands are on fire. And I says, ask God to increase it. And I interceded that God would do what he wanted me to do. Now, 30 dreams in one night, you say, well, he didn't have any time to sleep. He didn't need to. He got a revelation from God. How many are jealous? All right, there goes. Now, be Holy Ghost jealous. That's a good thing. Now, maybe we should have him late. No. Yeah. 30 dreams on each of you. Can you imagine how many dreams, how many directives? By the way, around 4 o'clock this morning, my wife had a dream. And in her dream, she got so giggly, she had a little accident. So we had to end up washing the sheet. How many know you can have a little problem once in a while? No, come on, girls. Guys, you never had a dream that you had to go to the bathroom? Well, I don't believe her dream was just simply going to the bathroom. But all kidding aside, it was so funny. And I'm pulling the sheets. I'm going downstairs with the sheets. She says, I can't even stand up. I am hurting so bad. And she couldn't stop laughing. It took her about 20 minutes to tell me the dream. And then at the close, she conks out. And then she comes back and she says, you'll tell me what it means tomorrow, right? And in her dream, she was flying. She was doing all kinds of things. And it was exciting. And so I know God's doing something. And we're going to let him do it. So would you lift your hands to the Lord? Say, Father, I'm asking you for the fire. The living fire off your altar. To keep burning. Everything that needs to be burned in me. Because I don't know how much needs to be burned. But you know me. And keep on going. I'm in my right mind right now. And even if I'm crying out earlier, or later in this session, or the week down the road, don't listen to me. I won't be in my mind, I'll be in my emotions. And when I'm in my emotions, I will fail. But I'm in my spirit man now, guided by the Holy Ghost. Keep burning all the chaff and don't stop until the mission is accomplished. And all of God's people said, put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord, those that I hold in my heart right now, touch them as well. Those that couldn't make it tonight, touch them as well. Those that have a hunger to be clean, heal and set them free. And give them the grace they need, even if they're not listening to me. Amen? How many know sometimes we kind of separate ourselves for a reason or for a season? It's okay. God's big enough to heal. Any additions? Then we'll just agree that a safe landing will happen for our brother, and that he'll be with us in the morning, and God willing, we'll see you at 11 o'clock.